Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mo.
Well, happy Sabbath, church family. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. And, you know, it is especially hot, isn't it? But remember, we're in Michigan. Soon we're going to be saying it's too cold. So enjoy it while it lasts. And we praise God that we can all be in the Lord's house together. And we hope that as you leave this place, that truly you will have an experience, a deeper experience with the Lord. You know, as we begin a new year in the life of the church, we also remember that we ended a year in the life of the church. July 1 marks the beginning of the life of a church, so to speak, a fiscal year. And Lansing, by God's grace, you ought to be proud of yourself. We did something really hard. As we ended this year, this fiscal year, we ended, by God's grace, with more than $4,000 in the black. And it's not about the amount, it's about the willingness to put God to the test. And some of you made deep sacrifices and say, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. And God said, just watch. And because of that, we like to be in the black, but more than that, we want to be able to reach souls for Jesus Christ. And this helps us to do that. In tangible ways, to have resources, facilities, places where people can come and hear about Jesus Christ, because time is short. And we need to be about the Lord's business, and that was not an easy thing that you guys did. But by God's grace, God blessed. Amen? That is also a reminder for us, as we are about to face a new year in the life of the church, that we will face great challenges as a church. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know that if we put God first, He will lead the way, man. So I'd like to have a special prayer of dedication for all the officers, every member. About half of us are traveling with the summer plans and going camping and all those things. We will also pray for them. And we want to ask for God's blessing as we face the future with Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is because of you that we're here. And Lord, we pray that you will not leave us nor forsake us. But more importantly, that we will not forsake you. For Lord, you are faithful. As we face a new year in the life of a church, every officer, we ask, Father, that we would be completely dedicated to the glory of the Lord. We pray for every member, whether they're under the sound of my voice or they'll tune in or wherever they might be, that they will have a deeper experience with you, and that as a church, we will grow from strength to strength, not for the glory of men, but for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's exhortation is The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. By the way, if this is your first time worshiping with us here in our wonderful Lansing Church family, we want to welcome you. And we're so glad that you've taken the time to be in the Lord's house today with us. The Good Shepherd. God has a call upon all of our lives today. In the life of the global church, they are making a lot of decisions. And we might say, well, as a Lansing's church, do we play any part in what the world church is doing? Yes, we do. And that is through prayer and through our focus on the Lord's work. As we go through life, there's always a question that we must always ask ourselves. It is the most important question, I would even say, that we need to ask. And that question is a question that Jesus himself wants to ask us. And the question is, who is Jesus to you? It is not who is Jesus to the general conference. It is not who is Jesus to a union, a division, or a conference, or a local church. It is who is Jesus to John, to Mary. Is Jesus a rock star, or an idea, a philosophy, or maybe a moral being who had good ideas about how to lead a revolution? Who is Jesus to you? As a matter of fact, Jesus wanted them to answer that question, that in the book of John, Jesus gives about 7 I am statements to his disciples and to those that were listening. In John chapter 7, he says, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, he says, I am the door of the sheep. In John as well, chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. In John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the what, my friends? And the life. In John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. And today we want to focus especially on John chapter 10, verse 11 to verse 18. Who is Jesus to me and to you? Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 11 to verse 18. John chapter 10, verse 11 to verse 18. The Word of God says it this way. It says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who's not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am what again, my friends? The Good Shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. If you were to ask Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 11, who is Jesus? He will say, quite simply, I am the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. If you and I want to experience transformation in our life, we must follow the Good Shepherd. But it's interesting that Jesus uses the word good shepherd. As a matter of fact, a shepherd was one of the most dangerous things you could do in that world. It was a dangerous job. It was one of those jobs, you know, whenever you watch a documentary, it almost seems like, have you ever wondered why those rigs that are out in the ocean, have you ever seen those that are pumping oil out of the sea? And they're being tossed to and fro, and it is so intense that they cannot be there for more than a year. They have to come back to land and do all those things. It is a dangerous job. Being a shepherd was even more dangerous than that. A shepherd was one of the most dangerous things and one of the most loneliest things you could do. It often meant going for long periods of time with sheep out in the pasture where they could find better land to graze. They often had to sleep, guess where, my friends? Not only in fields, but they often had to sleep in caves to keep the sheep safe in a cave with sheep. But also, a shepherd not only had to endure times alone and times out in a cave and all those things, he also had to know how to fight to protect the sheep from wolves, bears, and the terrible lion. A shepherd needed to be ready to step in at any time to protect his sheep from the enemy if it came by. He had to be a man who knew how to fight, but he also had to be a man who knew how to heal. You see, when you read in Psalm, David often talks in Psalm 23. He talks about something very important. He says, as you go there, as you think about Psalm 23, he talks about oil, doesn't he? And guess what the oil was used for? It was often used to heal the wounds of the sheep. A shepherd needed to know how to heal as well as how to fight. He needed to know how to be alone, and he needed to know how to find the best place for his sheep. It was a hard task. It was such a hard task that not a lot of people could be good shepherds. But what is interesting is that Jesus was not only just a shepherd, he was the what, my friends? The good shepherd. You might ask the question today, why is he the good shepherd? And there are seven things that we can see in the book of John, John chapter 10, that tell us why he is the good shepherd. I'm going to do a little bit like Solomon. When you read the writings of Solomon, he says, there are three things, but actually four things, right? Well, in John chapter 10, there are seven things, but actually there's going to be eight things, and you'll see why. Let's first start, why is Jesus the good shepherd? The first part is found in verse 12. Read it with me there, John chapter 10, verse 12. It says, but a hireling, he is not the shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Reason number one why Jesus is the good shepherd is because Jesus will always fight for his sheep. Amen? Jesus will always fight for his sheep. He will never forsake them like a hireling. When danger comes our way, Jesus is willing to take things in his own hands. I want to make that more personal for you and I. When you and I are in a battle, we don't have to worry if Jesus has our back. He says, the other ones, they might leave you, but I'm not going to leave you. I will stay with the sheep. That is a good shepherd. But God is not yet done. Jesus is not yet done. Not only does he fight for his sheep, but if you go to verse 13, he does something else as well. He says, the hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not do what, my friends? Care about the sheep. I want you to put your name there. If I were to read it, he'll say the hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about Mo. But guess who cares? Jesus cares. There are many things in our world today that are fighting for attention. We live in a hypercharged society, and most of our lives is spent doing things for people we don't even know. Maybe you're on social media doing things for people you don't even know. A lot of us, sometimes we're doing things to get more likes from people we don't even know. We're living through life doing all these things, and a lot of people want your attention. They want your things, but do they really care about you? If they knew everything about you, will they still love you? You know, it's one thing to be loved. It is another thing to be known and still loved. But it's a whole different thing for someone to not only know everything about you, but even know what goes on in your mind and still love you. Jesus says, I care about you. I know you, and I still love you. There is safety in that type of love. And though the sheep were there being faced with danger, God and Jesus will stay there because he cares about the sheep. Amen? Now, I want you as well to remember this when you're alone this week and you're going through a trial and tribulation that you do not know how you're going to face. Remember this verse and remember this moment that God cares for you. So not only is he a good shepherd because he fights for his sheep, he cares for his sheep, but let's go again, my friends, looking more closely at verse 13. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Let's put another word there. God loves his sheep. To care about something requires you to give your time. To care about something means you must be invested in it. To care about something means that you love it. God loves his sheep. You see, there are many bad shepherds. As a matter of fact, in Jesus' day, they were really bad shepherds. There were even shepherds that were really wolves, wanting to make the sheep a casualty of their own ideas, their own thoughts, their own selfishness. And today, we are still sheep, and we're still following shepherds. But the question is, are we following the good shepherd, or are we following a shepherd? When you look at the statistics, most of us base our lives following our own peers. We base our body image. We compare ourselves among each other. We base our careers many times based on what other people would think about us. A lot of our lives are drawn out or planned out because of other people. But what about Jesus? And what does he think of the way I should live my life? And that is why there is this question, who is Jesus to you and me? Is Jesus the Lord of our lives? Is Jesus truly the shepherd that we follow? Or is it the deadlines that we have? You see, because in verse 14, Jesus says something else. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I do what, my friends? I know my sheep. And I'm known by my own. Jesus is a good shepherd because he knows you and me. He knows our frailties, our challenges. He knows our dreams, our hopes, and everything that has taken place in our lives. He knows you and me. And he still has our back. Jesus is a good shepherd because he knows his sheep. But the question is, do we know our good shepherd? Friends and family, I want to tell you one thing. Get to know Jesus, because to know Jesus is to have everlasting life. To know Jesus is salvation. It is not just a casual, no, you know, I know about Michael Jordan. I know a lot about Michael Jordan. Yes. But I don't really know Michael Jordan. A lot of us, sometimes we go through church knowing about Jesus. We know, I mean, if you ask an Adventist can tell you, what is the day of the Lord? Sabbath, which day? Saturday. And you say, how do you know that? To an Adventist, he'll say, oh, go to the Ten Commandments. And then he might even go, the Adventist might even go to, it was in the custom of Jesus to go to the synagogue on the Lord's day. If you even want to be more specific, we can go to Luke and see when Jesus died. He rested on the Sabbath and rose on the first day of the week. He rose on Sunday. He rested on the Sabbath day and he was crucified on Friday. We know the facts, but do we know the Jesus of the cross? Do we spend time with him every day, seeing how he feels, what he thinks, or ask about his advice? There are so many times, especially for if you love education, sometimes we fall so hard on our education and our experiences that we forget to ask Jesus what he thinks. We are so quick to say, I've seen this before, I've studied this before. But Jesus always knows best. Do we know Jesus? Because Jesus knows us. And Jesus is a good shepherd because he knows his sheep and he wants to be known by his sheep. And in verse 16, Jesus even goes a little bit further. This is why else he's a good shepherd. Reading from verse 15 to 16, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be what, my friends? One flock and one shepherd. The one thing about the good shepherd that he can do that no man can do is that he can bring unity among God's people. The world today is very divided, isn't it? There's so many ideas, and even under the big umbrella of the Adventist Church, there are lots of different pieces. But I know that at the end of time, Jesus will have one flock. Amen? And we could either be those who divide or those that multiply. We could either be those that divide or those that multiply, and I have chosen to be those that multiply. It is easy to divide. It is easy to scatter, but it is hard to gather. But Jesus can, amen? And at the end of time, there will be one flock and one shepherd. And if we follow the good shepherd, we will be part of that unity with Jesus Christ. And the closer we come to Christ, the closer we will always come to one another, amen? You know, the key to unity is not to force unity. The key to unity is to go to the good shepherd. Some of us have strong ideas. Some of us have different, maybe different values. But if we have one Lord, we will be one. We will be one. The Lansing Church will be one, amen? It will be one, not because of what men does or how smart or how enticing a programming, it will be one because we follow one shepherd, and that is Jesus Christ. And only Jesus can do that. And Jesus is willing to do that. So, for a review, let's make sure we're all on the same page. Jesus is a good shepherd because he fights for his sheep. Jesus is a good shepherd because he cares for his sheep. Jesus is a good shepherd because he loves his sheep. And Jesus is a good shepherd because he knows his sheep. And Jesus is a good shepherd because he will gather his sheep. There are two more, maybe even three. Verse 18, it says, "No one takes it from me." He's talking about his life. "But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up. This command I have received from my Father." If you ever want to know, and here it is, my friends, the good shepherd is a good shepherd because he has complete authority on earth as in heaven. You might say, "Pastor Mo, where do you see that?" Notice that in verse 18, he says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay down of my what? Myself." Nothing in the world can kill Jesus. No man, no institution, no whatever it is, can take the life of Christ but himself. "No one takes it from me, but I lay down of myself." And notice what are the next words, my friends? "I have power to lay it down and I have power to do what? Take it again." Now, if you had that type of power, could you imagine that? You can lay yourself down and rise up again. There are powerful things in our universe. When you think about it, one of the loudest noises ever made in the universe is when black holes collide against each other. It is so loud and so powerful that it is a force. That is power. But God is even more powerful than that. He can lay down a life and take it up again. Jesus is a good shepherd because he has all the authority and power in this world. And he's your shepherd. I don't know how the bills are going to get paid. I don't know what's going to happen with my health. I don't know what's going to be happening here in the future with this program. I don't know what's going to happen to my family. But I know one thing. There's a good shepherd, and he has complete power. And if it is in accordance with his will, he will make it happen. He will make it happen. Could you imagine if we lived under that reality? Could you imagine as a church, if we really believe that God has complete authority on heaven and on earth, the types of plans, the types of lives we would live? There is nothing in this world that can take the life of my Savior. There is nothing in this world that can stand in the way of Jesus. It is so powerful that the Bible tells us that love overcomes evil, and where sin abounds, grace does what? Abounds much more. The next point there in verse 18, God is a good shepherd because he lays down his life for his sheep. I don't know about you, but that's the type of leader I want to follow. He's not in it for the money. He's not in it for the power. He's not in it for the fame. He's in it because he loves me.
And he says, I will lay down my life for the sheep.
Three times in John chapter 10, in those verses from 11 to 18, he says that three times. In verse 11, in verse 15, and in verse 17, going into 18, it is like a refrain to his life, I will lay down my life for my sheep. Seven reasons why God is a good shepherd. But I told you there are seven, maybe even eight. And as you look at John chapter 10, there's something there that is echoed in Ezekiel chapter 34, and this will be our last point. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. If you could go there with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to verse 16. You know, as a preacher, it's a great joy when you hear pages turn. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 11. Notice here a reflection of the true shepherd. The Lord says, For thus says the Lord God, Indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from how many places? All the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. Verse 15, I will feed my flock and I will make them do what, my friends? Lie down, says the Lord. Now, as we're reading this in our context today, we often forget how hard it is for a sheep to lie down. Do you know how hard it is for a sheep to lie down? Some of you who are farmers, you know what I'm talking about. In order for a sheep to lie down, there are four things that must happen. Number one, it must feel free from all fear. If a sheep feels scared, it won't lie down. The shepherd has to help it feel free from all fear. It also has to feel free from friction with other sheep of its kind to lie down. It also has to feel free from all flies and parasites. And number four, it has to feel free from feeling the need for food or hunger. Go back with me to Ezekiel chapter 34 again, verse 15. Notice what the shepherd says, I will feed my flock and I will make them do what? Lie down. Says the Lord God in verse 16, I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them into judgment. Here's number eight. God will give his people rest for their souls. If we follow the Good Shepherd, we will find rest for our soul. So I want to ask you today, from the Word of God, who is Jesus to you? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for laying down your life on an old rugged cross for us. But most importantly, thank you, Father, for not staying there and from raising yourself
And today, Father, you're appealing to all of our hearts. Come and follow me. Lord, may we follow the Good Shepherd today.
And when you come again, as we go from faith to faith, soon we shall see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.
May God bless you. May you be seated.
You have been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.